your crown. Come on, y'all, let's turn up the sound. If it's slide and put it on back, yeah, that's right, put it on track. This is the crown.
Hey guys, and thank you for tuning in to another episode of Crowned. I am your host, Fancy Patrice, and today I have a special guest with me, a friend and a line sister, sorority sister, my sister friend, the Essence Cox, and she is a content creator that is working towards a dating coach, meaning that she creates services to improve client success in dating and relationships through discussion, role playing, and behavior modeling. I'm so excited to have her here with me, Essence. Hey, girl.
Hey, Brit. Oh, my goodness. I am so excited to be on your podcast, girl.
Thank you. So, Essence invited me to talk last week on Clubhouse. Child, she got me on Clubhouse, and y'all know how I feel about Clubhouse. But it was, the conversation was so good, and I was like, you know what, Essence, I want you to come on my show and talk about dating. Come on, Miss Dating Coach. So tell us a little bit about yourself, the platform that you are building.
Yes. So absolutely. Hey, everyone. As Brittany said, my name is Day Essence Cox. And right now, I guess for my professional occupation, I am a student affairs professional. I work at an HBCU during the day, and I also have an e-commerce business on the side. However, for a while, God has been placing this new venture that I'm getting ready to go into on my heart. And so I'm finally ready to step out and branch out into this new venture. So like Brittany said, I have a platform that I'm getting ready to launch. It is called Cuffly Ever After. And so with Cuffly Ever After, it's a platform that embraces the concept of healthy and purposeful dating, relationship, and sex, which all stems from the root of love. So where I got Cuffly from is, of course, the cuffing season, you know, what society has stemmed as, you know, this time of the year, especially we're getting ready to exit out since Valentine's Day is on Sunday. But, you know, typically during the wintertime, that's the time where they say us singles, we are looking to be in a relationship. We really desire companionship. And we want to, like, relieve that feeling of loneliness. However, with my platform, I definitely want to take that and turn a spin on it. I want us to know that cuffing can go beyond just that seasonal period. So cuffing should be more than just a seasonal fling. Mm-hmm. And so I want to talk about how we can be more intentional in our pursuits and actually be ready for love so that we can live cuffly ever after.
I love it. I'm here for it, sis.
Thank you, sis. That's the platform. So, yeah, I'm trying to get certified in dating as a dating coach, but I really want to be known as your cuffing connoisseur.
Okay. One thing that you said to me that stuck out was like the lonely season. And I think that's so imperative. I went through a lonely season, but I like turned it into like a rededication to my life. So, yes. You know, I wanted a man that I could come and cuddle up and had that pillow talk with, but I also like rediscovered who I was, my interests. And I know a lot of that deals with like maturity and time, but I think it's a real thing when people get later in their 20s and like early 30s, when they really sit down, like, I don't know if I will ever get married, or I desire a relationship, yet I can't find a relationship. So you do go through a season of loneliness, and people are mm-hmm. like, oh, just love yourself, you know, do this. And that's not the reality. Yeah, you do need to love yourself. Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
Love yourself like your life depended on it. But to have those feelings of loneliness, I don't think that that's a bad thing to actually dive into. It's what you do with that time that really determines what your next couple of years will look like.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's interesting you brought that up, Brittany, because that's something that I had to realize as I am navigating my season of singleness. A lot of times I feel as though people see singleness as like this bad thing, or it's like, oh, this waiting season, we're just waiting for that perfect person to come in our life. And actually I had to shift my mindset and my perspective when it came to my singleness season. I had to shift it to know, like, Essence, don't focus on this being a waiting for somebody else. This is your waiting season for you to actually use this time for you to work on you. Put that energy and desire that you have into wanting, you know, a potential partner, you know, wanting marriage. Take that same energy and put it into how can you propel Essence forward? How can you go after and work on, you know, your dreams and goals that you're trying to accomplish? And I feel as though when we shift that mindset and kind of focus on us and the areas that we need to like either heal in, areas that we need to improve in while we're getting ourselves together, I feel as though in God's timing, the person who he has for us will definitely come. So that's a lot that I wanted to push, because I know I had to learn that for myself, is use your singleness season as a time to grow and develop yourself and really peek into what God has and wants for you. And just know in that season, as he's developing you, when the time is right, your boo gonna come. So don't worry, because we don't want no counterfeits. We don't want no alternates. And a lot of time, that's what we dealing with. We don't have time for that. We want the real deal. So yeah.
So how do you push through singleness and all those feelings when you feel defeated?
Oh, Lordy. I guess it's like, what I try to do with pushing through, again, it's just like taking those feelings and trying to channel it into something else. So how can I take those negative feelings and turn it into something positive? So like sometimes when I'm like, oh, I feel lonely, I feel like I, you know, want a little boo or whatever the case may be, I'm like, you know what, Essence, before you start to get in your feelings, let's go read a book. Let's go wash some dishes. Let's go, you know, take a shower. Let's go watch a movie. Let's go talk to a friend. So before I can even get into that mindset, or I feel myself like, man, look at everybody on Instagram. They got a boo and I don't have a boo. I'm like, how can I take that mindset and those feelings that I'm about to get into and just turn it into something else, turn it into something positive? And again, put it back on, instead of me thinking about somebody else or the potential of somebody else, how can I put that back on Essence?
Right. Yeah, it's good. Like, I feel defeated in this dating game, okay? And, you know, we in a whole panoramic. I don't know if that has anything to do with it. So the only thing that's available is dating apps, unfortunately. And, like, I actually read a study that said 60 or like 65% of people that get on those dating apps already are in relationships, are like in thinking nothing from. So you have to walk through those people, then you have to weed through people who like, I'm not looking for a relationship, I just want to have a good time. Well, I've already had that good time. And then when I meet people, I'm not saying that I want you to be my husband, but I am dating intentionally. So it's defeating when I sometimes feel like the odds are against us.
Yeah.
And I do feel like I feel the pressure of the world. And that is not a good thing. Like, to have the husband, to have the kids, like, that's the pressures of the world. I don't know. I don't know if I've ever told you this. I don't know if I want children. I don't know if I could see myself being married, to be honest with you, Essence. I don't know. But that doesn't take away the feelings or the pressures that I feel from outside external forces.
I got you.
How you should live your life. And I am being resistant to that. But it's like, why are you being resistant to that? Are you being resistant to that because you don't want to put yourself out there, because you feel defeated in the dating world? Is it because you know, you feel like these men are going to treat you the same way? I haven't had a man to prove me wrong yet. So I don't know, but yet I still am vulnerable, putting myself out there, dating, having these different experiences. So I guess my question would be, you know, the more relationships that you have, the more things you bring into those relationships. I've only had like 4 solid relationships in my life. Mm-hmm. But how do you not bring that trauma into your next relationship or even in your dating life?
Okay. This is a good question, Britt. And I guess even before I dive into the question, even when we were talking about earlier about like the dating game and the scene with these apps, a lot of them are very ghetto, and I'm just gonna keep it high. They're real ghetto. I'm just like, oh my gosh, the people that are on here, like even just the functionality of the app itself, I feel as though it's already setting us back. Because you're going through a million and one of these, you know, these different potentials. However, like, I don't feel as though they're even placing us to be intentional about who we're matching with, because a lot of times the people that we're going through are people who are not on the same page as us. And you brought that up earlier. People who are in relationships already, people who want, I've seen it where people are literally on there to find somebody to have a threesome with or whatever. Like, it gets real interesting. And it's just, well, I'm not here for all of that. So can we, how do we filter through that? But I feel as though that's something that should be doing, should be done as far as the developers of those apps. But that's another conversation for another day. However, I feel like what helps me, because I've been on dating apps for a while, that's how I've met a lot of the guys that I've interacted with in my past. And unfortunately, like, those situations have not worked. However, I feel as though each situation has taught me something different. And I would like keeps me optimistic as I move forth, even though I have encountered a lot of heartaches and heartbreaks from those situationships, that's what I like to call them, is because, like, I guess I'm a hopeless romantic. And, like, even though, like, I haven't stumbled across or came across the guy who's supposed to be with me yet, I'm very hopeful and sure that that's what's going to come. I think we've had a conversation about this before, Brittany. Like, God wants us to be in relationship with each other. God wants us to have marriage. I feel as though he wouldn't create it. He would not have created marriage if he didn't want us to obtain that. And so, again, if God has that for me and he wants that for me, desired that for me, I should definitely desire that for myself. So that's why I really feel as though, like, my spouse would come. However, with the situations that I've been in, I feel as though they definitely have helped shape me into the person that I am. So even though, like, they didn't end up being, you know, perfect and glitz and glamour, and it came with a lot of, you know, me, you know, crying and like, oh, like, why, Lord, why I had to experience this, why this person did this to me, you know, that sort of situation, I feel as though it gives me the tools to know, hey, Essence, well, this is what you need to look for when you move into a next relationship. Those red flags that you ignored from that last situation, hey, you need to pay attention to that next time. Or something that I didn't even notice or had to encounter from, you know, a previous experience that I ended up encountering in another. Now I know to, you know, look out for those things as I move forth, because I experienced that. And I feel as though when you don't experience certain things, it's hard for you to know how to maneuver. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Read about stuff and hear about things, but until you experience it, like, that hits different. It hits different. I, like, scissor all day. It hits different. So, yeah, I think just that, just what God has for me, I believe he has for me, keeps me grounded and optimistic. Like, me just loving love, I feel as though that keeps me optimistic. And, yeah, just really, like, learning and making sure that I am healing from my experiences has kept me optimistic.
Yeah, that's good. The healing word, I would say that's, like, been my word for the last 3 years, because I do try very hard like to everybody that, that I encounter that comes in my life, okay, you're here with a clean slate, you know? And I feel like healing is a forever thing. Like people heal from childhood trauma, you heal from trauma in your everyday life, and it doesn't have to be like in relationships. There's trauma at work. There's trauma in friendships. You know, like there's all types of
true.
You have to heal from. So people just say like, once you heal from a relationship, you can go on to another thing. Like, no, life is forever evolving. So yes. It's the healing journey. Like you will heal from different experiences in your life. But everybody that I encounter, like, okay, you're here with a clean slate. But when I start to see, like you said, the red flag that I see in another relationship, I will say, like, the later parts of me dating, like, probably the last 2 years, I've been able to say, this is a red flag. It no longer serves me, and I'm walking away. And that has been so beneficial for me because I've been in relationships where I've stayed too long. You know, okay, well, I'm going to work with it. I'm going to, you know, I'm going to tell him, and maybe he doesn't understand because we're nurturers, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, I'm just not doing that. Yeah, we can have a communication. We can talk about it. I'm not, the first red flag that I see, I'm not walking out the door because people are human.
Yeah.
But once it becomes too much, I'm not going to stay. And that has been the most beneficial thing for me in dating. And it has helped me to not be as disappointed. It has helped me, like, when I have expectations and somebody doesn't meet my expectation, to say, okay, is this something you can deal with? Is this something you can't deal with? And to make a decision, do I want to leave or do I want to stay? But it's helped me to not be as defeated in the dating game. That's, like, mind-blowing. I'm like, dang, it took me, I'm 30, so it took me 28 years to not stay, you know, once it gets to a certain point. Like, damn. But on the other hand, it's still defeating because you want things to work out. Nobody goes in a relationship and says, I want this to fail. I don't want this person to do the things that I want for our relationship to grow. Like, that's never the mindset. So it's hurtful. How do you move on from that? Do you have any tips or suggestions for people to let go of relationships that no longer serve them?
Yeah, so I think the walking away part, it can be hard. It definitely can be hard. And just listening to you and what you said, like how that's something you had to like learn and grow into, that's definitely the same for me. And I feel like though it does stem from like the fear of rejection, sometimes the fear of, you know, like, oh, I don't want to start over again with somebody else because I invested so much time, you know, into this situation, into this relationship. And it's just like, it has to go back. And that's why, I guess, with my platform, like, my biggest thing is to push, like, self-love, self-worth, because it all goes back to that. Like, when you know better, you do better. I know we all heard that saying. Our grandparents, our parents probably said that when we were younger, when you know better, you do better. So you have to have that mentality in your encounters with people. Like, yeah, sometimes we see red flags, and we just, like you said, you don't want to just completely, when you see one red flag, the first time you just running away. No, definitely have open communications about that. But if you see that things are still going the same and it's not changing, you know that the situation isn't right. Why are you still going through that? And so if you really know your worth and you really love yourself, like, you're not going to pitch yourself through that, because that eventually is just going to lead you into a deeper hurt, more heartache, wasted time. And we all don't have time to waste. We're not getting any younger. We might be looking younger because of our melanin, but we're not getting any younger. So it's just like, you know, nobody wants to waste time and to waste energy into people that don't deserve it. So if you know that for yourself and you cherish yourself, you gotta let go. And it's easier said than done. Lord, no, it's easier said than done. But as I've been, you know, growing and just getting to love and know essence, I am not going to deal with no BS. Essence comes first. And sometimes what hurts Essence is going to be better for Essence. So even if it hurts, I know I'll get over it eventually. It's going to be a healing process, but I'll get over it. But if I know me leaving that situation is going to put me in a better space, then I just have to do what I have to do.
Yeah, that's good. This is a great time to get a drink. So this podcast is brought to you by
The Whiskey Record Whiskey Glasses. Give your whiskey the gift of a great glass. The rationale behind a good whiskey glass is simple. A good whiskey glass is designed and shaped to allow the aromas of the whiskey to surface without being lost and the inherent alcohol burn. All their whiskey glasses are designed to maximize the taste of the whiskey you pour in them. All the Whiskey Record products are from high-quality, lead-free glasses. Get yours today at thewhiskeyrecord.com. And we're back.
So, Essence, you said something good last time about walking away. Have you ever had an experience from walking away from a situationship?
Yes, I've had plenty.
So, the entanglement, sis.
Girl, I'm even example queens. And it's crazy, like, some of the situations I felt as though, like, because I wasn't at that time strong enough to walk away from it on my own, God cut me off from those situations because he knew if he didn't, that I probably would have been in those situations longer. But I would say maybe my most recent relationship, so the last relationship that I've been in, it was actually one of the most difficult situations that I've been in as far as like what transpired. However, it was actually the easiest for me to get out of because, again, like I've already started to pick up on the red flags and the signs and like just the way my relationship has been deepening with God. Like I just knew, like, sis, it's going to be time for you to get out of this soon. So I guess with that, the last situation I was in, long story short, I was with this guy. We ended up being together for about like 6-7 months. And so the way it started it off, it started off great. I do feel as though it was kind of moving a little fast in the beginning, but I kind of just overlooked it. And so he was just basically saying all the things I wanted to hear as far as us being on the same page with our intentions of, a long-term relationship and marriage and just the things that we wanted to as a couple and as a married couple in our future as far as building a legacy for our family, like the houses we want, traveling, like all those good stuff. So we were on the same page about those things. However, just in those encounters that I've had with him, it was some things that I just knew, like, hey, girl, you need to watch out for this. So, like, the first thing was, you know, him off the bat just saying how, oh, you're going to be my wife. Oh, you know, we're going to be together. Like, I have this ring that I wear just to remind me of, like, not necessarily like an abstinence or celibacy ring, but just to remind me in life, like, of what I want and what I'm willing to wait for. And so he was like, oh, I'm going to replace that ring with an engagement ring and all that kind of stuff. And this was like night one when we met. And I was just like, oh, sir, like, that's too much. Like, you just getting to know me. Like, I could be crazy and you already telling me all of these things. And so, like, that was one of the flags. So definitely be mindful of things as that nature. And they moving too fast, too early. Sis, reevaluate, because that's a sign of neediness or controlling. Mm-hmm. So, right there. And so, two, as we continue to move on into our relationship, another flag that I noticed was he will always send me like these sweet, like random poems and letters. He would just text me like out of the blue, and they were kind of lengthy, and I was just like, oh my gosh, I've never had a guy who like literally like sends me these love poems and I don't have to ask for them. It's just out of the blue. So I remember one time he sent me one, but the poem didn't make any sense to what our relationship was. So it seemed kind of odd. And so I remember I shared that with my roommate, who's one of my closest friends, and she was like, "Oh, girl, have you ever like searched the stuff that he sent you, like Google it?" And I was like, "You know what, sis? I haven't," or whatever. And so I remember I went to Google it and I ended up finding the book. And I was just like,
"I can't.
What? What?" or whatever. And I remember I asked him about the poems before, and he was just saying how he would write them and that is how he feels and all that kind of stuff. And I was just like, or whatever. I was like, he said he's writing these poems. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to ask him about it. And so I went to go ask him about it, and he was just like, no. He told me no. That he wrote those poems or whatever, and he just basically denied whatever, any chance of him, like, you know, getting those poems from another source. And so I was like, okay, cool. So I had to turn around and call him back. And so in a nutshell, I confronted him about, like, hey, I know you did not write that poem. Like, I asked you why you didn't just tell me in the first place. It's nothing to lie about. And so he basically tried to flip the situation on me and say, well, Essence, if you trust me, like, why you had to go Google it? You could have just come to me directly. And, you know, I don't know why you know, you're doing this and stuff like that. And I was just like, well, why would I even come to you? Because you didn't tell me the truth in the first place. Mm-hmm. So I would acknowledge him before even Googling it, who to say he would have told me the truth.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I ended up telling him, like, hey, this is something that's minor. This is like a petty situation. All you had to do was just keep it real with me up front in the first place. However, I didn't want you feeling like you couldn't tell me the truth with something minor spirals into a bigger situation. Now when we have a more important, deeper situation that we're in, are you going to do the same when we're in that type of situation? And so that was like another red flag. Like I brushed it to the side. It was nothing that I forgave him for, but I definitely didn't forget about that situation. And so again, just as we moved along, things were good. However, it got to the point to where, and this might be a special case. I don't know if this is anybody else's case. I don't want to, throw nobody under the bus or whatever the case may be, but I would just say it got to the point where he was trying to push more of us getting into a marriage, actually, that I feel as though wasn't necessarily based on love. It was based on more of his benefit of having a citizenship in the U.S.
I got laughed at the situation. I'm sorry. These men would try anything.
Anything. And it's just like, yeah, so like, when it got to that point, like I said, it's a long story. So I don't want to like spend the entire podcast just trying to talk about that.
Right.
However, like it got to that point. And so it was just like, you know, if we love each other, you know, let's go forth and just, you know, go ahead and get married and we'll do all the wedding and all that kind of stuff later. And it's just like, I really, you know, like this person and really cared about this person. However, like, I know I wanted marriage, but that definitely was not the route how I wanted to get into that.
Absolutely.
Was something I had to like literally like pray. I was crying, talking to my mom and friends about it. I was like, y'all, I don't really know what to do. And I really had to say, like, God, guide my steps in this situation.
Right.
Like, I don't know if this is a test, like, you know, will I do, you know, what it takes or whatever to get a marriage, or would I, you know, have the ground be grounded in my faith to discern if this is really for me, and don't let my judgment or whatever cloud myself of me really wanting to be in a marriage, really wanting to be, you know, in this type of relationship. And so, like, I got to the point where I had to tell him, like, no. And it wasn't even because I thought he was trying to, like, swindle me into anything. I really believe that, you know, what we had as far as our feelings for each other were real, but I just knew, like, this situation, this sort of marriage, it was not of God. I was like, God loved me too much for me to get into a situation like this. And it was just no. And so after, I guess, you know, I rejected his request of me, that's when I started to see a huge shift in our relationship. Like, things became more distant. It was just like the whole lovey-dovey feel and the infatuation stage that we had in the beginning. Like, we started to definitely move out of that. And so the relationship ended up coming to an end. Like I said, I already started seeing the signs. I already knew, like, I just couldn't, like, deal with this anymore. But I still was trying to hang on a little bit. I was like, nah, let me see. Maybe I'm just all up in my head and stuff. But I guess it gets to the point, too, like, listen to your gut feelings, because a lot of the time our gut, like, we're telling ourselves what we need to do, but we try to say, oh, well, no, we overthinking it. No, maybe I'm just, no, girl, you just doing too much, girl. Just brush it off. It's not that deep. No. We have a conscience for a reason. Sis, listen to it, because I'm telling you, it will save you time. It will save you heartache. And so, yeah, like, it came to an end because I ended up finding out when I already asked him, hey, have you been moving on and trying to, you know, get your situation together? Because I already told him I cannot be in a marriage with someone who is, like, if you're going to do your thing, do your thing. But I can't be in a relationship with someone who's married or whatever you got going on. I don't want to be caught up into that situation. Cordial, we could be cool. But that's not my lifestyle. That's not my ministry. And so I just have to, you know, remove myself from that. But he was trying to have his cake and eat it too. Mm-hmm. So he went to move forth to do his situation, to do what he had to do for himself, and did not tell me. And so once I found out that information, as much as it hurt, it really hurt, like, my heart, I'm telling you, I had to let it go.
Yeah.
I had to let it go. The writing was already on the wall. And like I said, I already knew it was coming. So it seemed as though, like, when I had to cut myself off from that situation, it didn't really, I wouldn't say, like, it didn't hurt, but I felt so relieved. Mm-hmm. Like, it was like, just like, oh, just like a weight lifted off of my shoulder, because I knew I was doing what was best for me.
That's good.
And yeah. So I was just saying, like, you know, those are some of the tips, just like based off of what I'm going through. Listen to your gut feelings. Be careful, like, just making sure that when you're moving forth with people, that you're not letting, like, you know, your desires of really what you want cloud your judgment. Because a lot of times, like, oh, they got potential, but I feel like the potential could be a dangerous word sometimes. They have the potential, but are they living up to that potential? And are, you know, is the potential matching with the reality of what is actually happening? So definitely, like look into that, and any little tactics of manipulation or, like, just that narcissistic type of vibe that's coming from somebody, sis. Pay attention. Those are real. And so, yeah, those are just like some tips just based off of that situation alone that I had to learn from. And I'm like, I am ready to share with all my sis and bros, because that can happen to me too. I don't want y'all in that type of situation, because it was messy.
Right. Yeah. I asked that question because I actually ended up in a situationship, not intentionally, because I'm a relationship type of person. I'm like very black and white. Like, we can date, you're courting me, but I'm going to be your girlfriend eventually. That's why we're dating. And the older I get, the more flexible I get with that. And I'm really doing much better with setting my boundaries. But the guy that I was seeing, I liked him, infatuated. We hit it off quick, very quick. And we talked on the phone for hours. Right? And he was just very non-committal. And I'm like, this is not what I want. So when I challenged him on that or said, this isn't what I want, you know, just I saw a different side of him and he does become distant. But I'm going to tell you, that was one of the hardest relationships I ever really had to walk away from. And what got me so much was we weren't even together. That was not my boyfriend. So healing from somebody that you never really dated or you never really were with, I just never had experienced that. So that was my situationship. So I guess the capacity that somebody plays in your life, or was that an expectation that I set upon myself to say, like, this person is who I want to be with, or this person is going to be my boyfriend. And then I was disappointed when the expectation wasn't met. So that's something that I've learned, like, in the dating game, to have these expectations, to have these boundaries, but also be aware, like, it's not just you in this relationship. And you said the narcissistic. I've never dated a narcissist. Like, very controlling, and they really play mind games with you. So you, like, sitting there like, is it me? I'm on life support, and he over here living his best life, you know?
Girl, like, for real, I'm telling you, and that's the thing. It's like the mind games, the manipulation.
Yeah.
I don't want to cut you off, but like in that situation that I was telling you about, he didn't come out and was like, oh, well, Essence, you either need to, you know, be with me, or I'm gonna break up with you, or, you know, it's not like he gave me ultimatums or type of things or whatever. He tried to do it in a more subtle way. So he tried to gaslight me. Right. Like, he would say, you know, like I said, even with the poems, like, oh, Essence, well, why didn't you come to me? Like, you don't trust me. Like, why didn't you come and ask me why you had to Google it? So if I didn't even Google it, I wouldn't even know it was a lie.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying, and so, like, too, I gave him the opportunity to come clean with what he's, you know, with the situation, but he never did. And so when I went back to, I guess, check him in a sense and say, hey, no. You disappointed me. You didn't, or whatever. I gave you the opportunity, but you didn't tell the truth. Then he tried to take the situation and spin it and put it back on me like I didn't trust him.
Yeah.
So I'm saying, so that is definitely a tactic of manipulation. And sometimes because the way it's being delivered is not necessarily like blunt, it's a more subtle way. You have to be like mindful of that as well, because like a narcissist, they will take stuff like that and make it seem as though it's your fault. They want you to think like, oh no, I'm thinking too much, or am I tripping and am I crazy? No, sis, no, bro, you're not tripping,
right?
You're crazy. Go trip.
Yeah, you have to be confident in your decisions. And that was one thing what I knew that I needed to walk away with. Like, I'm a confident woman. I do consider myself like a type A personality, alpha woman. And when I was losing that, or losing my identity and who I was, I knew that this was no longer healthy for me to be in this relationship. And it was time for me to walk away. But it's also good to like acknowledge those feelings. So during that time, I journaled. I would take my dog on walks and I would like walk and actually think about it. I never reached back out to him because, you know, when you stop with a narcissist, no contact is a real thing.
Yes.
Not contact, or they will wheel you back in. It's a love bombing, I think is the term, that they come back in, like they just grab you back on the hook and they wheel you back in and then you're back. You know, they want that supply. So like having that time for me and like sitting in that time, like to really rediscover what it is that I'm wanting and going back to setting those boundaries when I go back and dating is good. But before, when I got my heart broke, I would be like, I'm going in my shell. I'm not coming out. I don't want to talk to these men. I don't want to do any of this. I'm done, right? That goes back to feeling defeated. I was not going to allow this situation to do that. I was like, all right, I'm going to take my time. There is no time limit, so I'm not going to tell you. Take a week, take a month, whatever. Take as long as you need to take.
Yeah.
But do not allow that situation to dictate your future and date, because that man is off living his best life with whoever he's doing.
Whatever. The best life, or what they, you know, want us to see. You know, sometimes they put on this facade, but we'll just leave that for another day. But
in a whole other relationship, I'm assuming that. I have no idea, you know. But I will never let a man tell me they don't want me more than once. I'm going to believe you in your actions. And that is exactly what that was. Because even in that time where I was doing my healing, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to be honest with you. If he would have told me he wanted to come back, girl, I probably would have let him come back. But he didn't.
So it's like, I'm coming. You know,
spin the block. Come on, come on. But I'm glad he didn't, because it made me stand firm in that and know this is not what you want. And I really, really, I needed that. Another thing that you said too was like about your faith. I don't really necessarily, I've like gone back in and did things that I needed to do, but I don't feel like I was really walking spiritually where I needed to walk while I was in that relationship. And I say that like God is always ahead of my life, but I wasn't doing like my prayer. Like I pray consistently. Girl, I was praying and going to sleep. Thank you, Lord. In the morning, I'm praying, thinking about other things. You know, I wasn't focused on God as much as I should have been. And that was another thing. When you said God took it away from you, I felt you on that. I felt that deep in my soul, because God was like, hey, one, you're losing sight of me and you're focusing on this relationship more than what it needs to be. Because once again, I'm on life support. Like, hey, I'm over here. You see me. I want to be loved. I want to be, and I'm focusing on this man. And God is like, I have an abundance of love to give you. You just need to recognize this.
Girl,
that was also something that I learned in that relationship. So, you know, walking away, going into your faith and going to the creator with whoever you believe in, ultimately will bring happiness and peace. And it's restored my life. And I'm back out here in these streets, baby.
I am glad, Brie. I am glad. And I guess to go back on what you were saying about, you know, not be, you know, focused on God, especially as we go through, you know, these relationships, situationships, whatever you want to call it, with people. That's something, again, I had to like get on board with, and I feel as though God really had to check me, is because a lot of times we're trying to like walk in our own understanding and think that we could do things without him, and we really can't. And so that's something that a tip that I would share just off of what I learned is like, don't chase men, chase God. That's the only man that we should be chasing around here is God, because God has more than enough love, like you said, to give. He has given us the ultimate love. He's created us.
Mm-hmm.
It's our journey predestined for us. He's his only son to die for us, so that we can have everlasting life. So if I have God who has showed me the most and ultimate unconditional love, I'm not about to run and get that from nobody else, because their love is never going to measure up. So let me make sure that what I'm doing is pleasing to God. And so like one of the scriptures that I would share from that I have to keep reflecting on is Psalms 37:4. Take delight in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Like God knows what I desire. He knows what I want. He knows I want a bill. He know I want a man or whatever. But he's saying, in essence, if you focus on me, I will give you everything else.
Right.
Amen. You see what I'm saying? So it's just like we have to, and again, I don't know, you know, everybody's, you know, spiritual background or, you know, religious background, whatever the case may be. But I know for me, like I have to have God as the focal point.
Amen. Same.
Have him and make sure that I'm redirecting my focus, not on the potential of a man, because the man ain't even here, Brittany. I've had all this energy and the potential of a man when I need to put that in God's head, because God already know who he is. He already know who he is. So right. I need to trust in him. Trust in him.
Right.
Myself, position myself. So when he is seeking, I can be stopped. So I'm going to stop it right there, because you know, Brittany, I'm going to go.
No, amen. I agree. I'm going to tell you, when I left that last relationship, I was so broken. I was so broken. This man stole money from me and all kinds of things. When I tell you that when I gave my life back to God and I started doing things that I know I'm supposed to be doing, my life got so much better and I never looked back. I got my money back 3 times.
Jesus.
Okay, my peace of mind came back. And this relationship was only 6 months. It wasn't even a long time. But when I say I was, it broke me down to the core. It broke me down to the core. So I truly believe, I am a Christian. I believe in God. God is the one. He fixed me. He pulled me out. He covered me. He protected me. And I know he would do the same for anybody else in a relationship. But my last question to you, because you keep saying, you know, seeking a man. Men, you have different views as far as marriage. Like, I know you want to be married. Mine is in the air, girl. Like, you know, I believe that the ratio is 7 to 1. So 7 to 1, that means 6 of us, where's the man? I don't know. You know, I do believe that God has created us to have companionship. I don't think we're supposed to be single for forever. That is not how God intended us to be. Mm-hmm. I think that it's 2021 and a lot of things have changed with the perception of relationships and how people think these marriages are supposed to be. So yes. I don't know. I'm not putting my focus on the ultimate goal of being marriage. I would love to hear your insight on, you know, why you seek marriage, why it is your ultimate goal.
Yes. So, I love when you ask this question. I at one point, to be honest, in my life, I didn't see marriage for myself. Mm-hmm. I guess at that time, in the environment that I grew up in, I didn't see too many marriages or healthy marriages at that. To be honest, so I grew up in a single parent home. It was just my mom and my older brother. She just raised us. It's not like we didn't know our dad. We saw him, we visited him, all that kind of stuff. But it's not like I had, you know, my father in the house or that my mom and my dad were even married. Right. And so I guess just based off like the environment that I grew up in, I at one point thought like, okay, you know, I don't really see myself being married. I'll probably be a mom, but I don't, you know, I guess marriage would not be for me. And so as I started to get into this adulting world, grow up, especially getting active in the dating scene, as God has started to shift and mold me and change my mindset, I was like, Essence, No. We're not going to think like that. So I know earlier I mentioned that, you know, I feel as though I believe God wants us to be in companionship in marriage because he created that for us. I think he would have created it if he didn't want that for us. And so I had to start thinking like, hey, if God wants that for me, you know, the person that's the head of my life, that's ordering my footsteps, like, why don't I want that for myself? And so I had to look at myself and I was like, you know what, Essence? No, you will not be somebody's baby's mother. You will not be somebody's girlfriend because the character, the type of person that you are, the way of your... just my character, the way I interact with people, the way I carry myself. If I look at God's description in the Bible of what a wife is, I am that. I am that. So I'm not going to settle for anything less than what I deserve. I'm not. Like, I just don't believe that I should. And so for me, like, I'm like, yes, I am somebody's wife. I know I'm somebody's wife, so I'm not going to settle for anything less than that. And I guess when it comes to a marriage as well, I see marriage more than just, you know, the covenant, the companionship, the love. I see that, but I feel as though marriage is also a partnership as well. And so I know for me, one of my ultimate goals in life is not necessarily marriage. It's to create a legacy. Like, I want to establish something that can be passed down from generations to generations and generations. And so I feel as though in a marriage, yeah, I could establish, feel as though I can establish something for myself. However, like, it takes two to make a child. So like, it can't just be me. Like, I have to have a partner in order to, you know, have this child in order to pass something on to. So I guess that's really important for me and my future spouse to be a legacy creator, to create generational wealth, and also to create generational curses. Because again, I told you, I didn't grow up seeing necessarily many marriages or many healthy marriages, because my grandmother, she was married, but she was married multiple times. Mm-hmm. Not saying that it wasn't healthy, but I didn't really get to see much of that growing up. Mm-hmm. I'm just like, you know what? I'm going to break mm-hmm. that generational curse of my family. Mm-hmm. I want to be the definition of a healthy marriage that my children can see. I want to be just the overall ultimate definition and example of, you know, just a marriage, even with like just birth out of wedlock and all that kind of stuff or whatever. I want to be the person to set that example for my children and my children's children. Mm-hmm. And so that's just like, I know that's a lot, but I guess those are just some of the components and reasons why I would love to be in the marriage. So it goes deeper than just, oh girl, I got the ring. I'm a miss, like all that kind of stuff. Oh, you know, it goes deeper than that. Like I know the type of life that I want to create for me and my future family. And I just feel as though that will just be an essential addition to that.
Right. It was beautiful. Yeah. My story is of why I don't know. I cannot believe that I'm here, because if you caught me 7 years ago, I definitely wouldn't be in the space of, I don't know if I want to be married. But because I am where I am, like, success has been a big drive for me. Like, to be the top of my game, like, to be successful, to be educated, that has been a major focus for me. Like, I didn't date for a year and some change because I was so focused on me. And I'm like, could that have been the reason why? Like, I'm very content in my life. I live a very good life, you know, financially able to provide for myself. And like, that is like an ultimate goal. It brings me happiness. And I did grow up in a two-parent household. I've seen good marriages, you know, throughout my family. My grandparents were married until my grandfather's demise. You know, my aunt and uncle, like, marriage runs through my family. That is a big thing. I am the one that is not married, or I should say will marry later on in life. And a lot of them have like put their lives on hold to start families and create children and a life for their family. And I'm very thankful for that, because I wouldn't be here for that. You know, my mom worked a job for 38 years and just retired last year. Like, do I want to do that? No, that doesn't work for me. So I'm very non-conventional. And that just would not work for me. And I know that I could potentially find a husband that would support me in my dreams and aspirations, but that has been my focus. And that's why I'm like, I don't know about this family life. And I think that that's okay. I think that that should be normalized more, because I cannot say that I'm a conventional type of person. And again, I'm gonna go back to reiterate what I said before. That does not mean I don't feel the pressures of the world to tell me this is what you should do. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Do I want companionship in my life? Absolutely. I don't know what that looks like. I don't want to be a person that says I did this because society told me to do it, you know? But I think it changes too when you find somebody that you love, and somebody that loves you correctly, and somebody that you can give that love to.
Yeah.
So I think that my mind would change if I ever get to that space.
And Brittany, that's definitely fine. Like, I guess too, that's another, like, all of us have to do, and I'm walking towards, like, getting out of the timeline that society places on us. Right. Like, be married, have a child and stuff, all this before 35 or whatever the case may be. And it's like, everybody's journey and story is going to be different. So we have to stop comparing ourselves to other people, because like, we would never, none of us will have the same journey and story, because if God wanted it to be that way, then he would make all of us the same. But that wouldn't be any better. or whatever. So like, that's not going to be the case or whatever. But I feel as though it's all in just really knowing though, like what you want and what you desire.
Mm-hmm.
Well, too, when we're focused on other stuff or whatever, like I said, I feel as though God will give us those other things. I do feel as though we need to focus on our personal development's journey and growth, and he will add all those stuff to us. But I know yesterday I was watching one of my favorite YouTubers. It was called like Real Talk with Yanni. And she was just saying like, do you want to be a career woman? Are you going to be a woman with a career? And so when she said that, I was like, and it sparked like what you said, like, I'm that same person, Brittany. We've had this conversation before, that go get a mentality, like whatever I said, I'm going to, you know, put out forth to do, I'm going to accomplish in my life. Like, I'm going to make sure it happens or whatever with God. Cause he'll come back in the picture too and mess me up if it doesn't align with him or whatever. However, like, I had to like also understand too, like, do I want to be that career woman that I'm just so focused on, like just career, success. Or do I want to just like be one that, you know, I have a good career. I'm still driven by my success. However, like my life doesn't evolve around that. And I feel as though like there's many different aspects of my life or whatever that goes beyond just me having a career. Like, right. I really do want the family. I really family life. I want to be able to do stuff out even outside of that. If I want to be like, hey, you know, I want to travel, let me do that. Or I want to, you know, go into this hobby or whatever. Like, let me do those things. So I don't want it to be where my life is so fixated on focus on one specific aspect of it, to be able to have a balanced life.
Yeah, absolutely. Balance is so important. Like, girl, I need wealth. I'm sorry. I don't want to be broke. I'm so sorry. Like, Essence, I see it now with my friends who have children, and not all of them, but they are not doing what they want to do because you now have a responsibility. You know what I'm saying? And everybody, some people do plan for their kids or whatever, so that's a different space. But the ones I know, the ones I'm speaking out are not planned. They were not planned children. And that was like, I have to do this because I have to provide for my child. I have to do this. And you have no choice. And that is what you're supposed to do.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But I don't want to work a job where I worked for 35 years, and then when I'm done, they have a retirement cake for me and cut a piece of cake, and they're like, thank you for your service. And then I got to live off of fixed income for the rest of my life. That is
totally
not what I'm signing up for. I can't.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree. I totally agree. That's gotta.
So I'm in that space, but I'm figuring it out. I think balance is great because I'm here for all of it.
Like you said, I'm not about this, oh, I work 40 years, then you give me a retirement, then a retirement don't even cost, not even a half of what the bills that I need to pay for and live off. Like, no, I think we are beyond that at this point. Like, I need multiple streams of income that's coming or whatever, and that's going to be passive and residual over time. But you know what? If he give me a man, though, that, you know, have that, I feel as though we still can go into other ventures. Like, I still want to, you know, continue forth with my brand, and I want us to even start something on our own together to say that we're building. So let's just do that. But if I ain't got to work and I can stay home and just focus on that, then I'm content with that too.
Right.
Like, yeah, I'm still into that that traditional value.
I'm here for it.
You know?
But Essence, I want to thank you so much for coming on and sharing your thoughts. Essence, tell them where they can find you.
Yes. So you can find me right now on Instagram at As Told By _ Sienna, which is Sienna. But I know I am getting ready to change that name real soon. So please make sure that you go follow me ASAP, because it will be changing into @thecuffing, Cuffing underscore connoisseur. So please make sure you go and follow me on my IG. I'm on Facebook too at my real name, The Essence Cox. But yeah, just follow me on IG. That's all.
We'd love to see it. Y'all, this is a good time to light a candle.
Get your mood right with the Candles and Vibes candle. All candles can be purchased at candlesandvibes.com.
Essence, again, thank you so much for giving us your time today. I know the people can't wait to hear more from you and your daily advice. And you know I love you, girl.
I love you too, Britt. Thank you so, so much for having me. Like, it is truly an honor to be here on the crowd. Yes. I am so honored, girl. So thank you so much for having me. I appreciate you. I love you dearly. And yeah, bring me back.
I'm so in, girl.
You gotta do this more often.
All right, y'all. Thanks for listening.
Make sure you are subscribed so you don't miss a show. I'll see you all next week.